So it's great to be together to talk to you about eternity. I honestly, as I mentioned before, I'm not going to speak forever on this. But we are going to do three short talks about eternity. And obviously that topic is huge. And so don't expect me to cover every aspect of eternity this morning. But I want to touch on what God's design is for people. How mankind responded to God and the consequences that follow out of that, and God's new design for us today and for eternity. And I also want to take just a moment to look at how living in God's love has made a difference to my life and the way I live today, I suppose that would be the case. So as I said, I'm not going to try and cover every aspect, but if there's a question, you know, we're going to split into groups to have a short discussion before we eat lunch together. And maybe discussion can start in those groups, you know, and it's free to discuss whatever aspect of eternity you feel like discussing. That if it raises a point, think, I don't understand that, and it's fine, we don't mind you challenging what we're saying. We want to explore that, and we want to explore what eternity means. So I've entitled this morning as Eternity, Design, Consequence and Response. So eternity is the way we were actually designed to live. It's in our DNA. God designed us that way. God created life, and he sustains that life in us. And the Bible tells us God created the world and brings life. Just at this point, I should say, here's a spoiler alert. Mankind messes things up and dies. So just that's a spoiler, you know. But God's plan was that he enables everyone to live with him in a place where there's no death and suffering. And because we're not designed to die, we find a tremendous hurt and pain and loss when someone who we love dies. It's true, isn't it? We're full of that grief. Somebody who we love is taken from us because we weren't designed that way. So if we were designed to live, why don't we live eternally anymore? Why do we die? How has death and destruction entered into the world? Well, I'm going to try and answer that a little bit. God created us to live in relationship with him and live lives that please him. But he wanted it to be our choice to live with him. He didn't want to force us into that. He didn't want to make us without choice and freedom. I think, you know, mankind decided that we didn't want to live his way. We wanted to do it our way. And we're missing God's mark for the way we should live. Mankind had a choice to live, and we chose to live it our own way, away from God, because we think we know best, but we're living outside of God's plan. That's the trouble. And so there's a consequence of living our own way, and the obvious consequence, I've already talked about it a little bit, is death and destruction. However, you know, we live in today's world, and some of those things are actually manifested in our own life today, and the consequences, some of which, and I admit this is not an exhaustive list, so if you can add to it, that's fine. But some of the consequences that you might identify or experience are insecurity, hurt, pain, bitterness, anger, pride, self-reliance, worthlessness, not accepting yourself, self-loathing, a resentment. You know that resentment when somebody gets promoted at work, or somebody gets something that you think you should have had. You're not the first pick on the team. You know, when I was a child, I'll have you on, I'll have Christoph on my team because he's a brilliant footballer. You know, but and I'm the last person to be picked. And you know, but you do, doesn't it? But breathe something in you that, and then you can start comparing yourself with the others, and all those things are kind of the manifestation of living outside of God's plan. And I say it's not an exhaustive list. All these things are the consequences of breaking relationship with God. And if I could use a word to describe living out of relationship with God, it's a word that the Bible uses, and it's actually one we've sung about this morning, and that's the word sin. So if we encapsulate what we sang this morning and saying the word sin, one of the ways we could say is living out of relationship with God, doing our own thing, doing it our own way. It's a helpful word because it summarises that relationship outside of God. But God's plan is to restore mankind's relationship with him and to look to the future where there's no death or suffering. And his plan, and is his plan, is it was to send his son Jesus as a sacrifice for that sin, the sin of mankind. And Jesus would only be and could only pay that price and be worthy and acceptable if he was righteous and without sin. And the Bible tells us that's what he was. The cost for mankind of doing their own thing and their own way is death. So that price needs to be paid. So Jesus would have to pay that ultimate cost and die in our place. In the Bible, in John, a book of the Bible, which talks, John 1:29, talks about this. It says that the Lamb, Jesus, taking away the sin, the death and destruction of the whole world. And in 1 John 2:1-2, it says, Jesus, the righteous one, served as a sacrifice for our sins. He solved the problem for good, not only ours, but the whole world's. So recently I've spent some time with God reviewing my own life. And one of those reviews took me back to my childhood, where I remember being sat down because I couldn't write my name, and my reading and writing wasn't as good as it could have been for my age, I suppose. And the consequences of that, being made to sit through something and do something, was that I felt hurt. I felt a resentment. I didn't like myself. I felt not worthy. You know, I just felt rubbish about myself, as if I was not good enough. It was one little thing in my life. I am now considerably older than I was then, but I still remember it. So it must have had an impact on my life. But when I was spending time with God, it was He said to me. Just a minute. This is what I felt God say to me. You've got it the wrong way around. Those people that were trying to help you, loved you, were doing the best for you. You'd actually got it the wrong way around. So I twisted the sin of the world, twisted my thinking to hurts and self-loathing and comparison, feeling I wasn't good enough, which was brought about through an insecurity. But God was saying, you're not a failure. He said, I've designed you in my image. You're not a disappointment to me. You know, getting it wrong, but seeing it through God's perspective, through God's eyes, changed the way I think and thought. And actually changed the way I think now. I don't feel the same as I did when I went through my... It was only a few months ago, May time, and I'm just reviewing that. I didn't realise it, but God spoke to me and said, you know, you're not what you thought you were before. Now you're new. I don't have a disappointment in you. And also during this time, and just another quick story about myself, really. I felt that over a period of time, I've been living under the expectations of other people. I was being probably a little bit driven to impress, to make sure that I looked good. But actually that was having a negative impact on myself. I was, you know, constantly reviewing my day, worried about what I'd done. Had I said the right thing? Because I often say the wrong thing. So, you know, it goes in your head. goes in your head. You lie there at night, and I was waking up in the middle of the night, worried. And that's not what God had designed me to be like. What God said to me and reminded me of, he says, I don't have to do anything else other than be who I am to earn his love, because he accepts me the way I am. And he told me he loves me. And he reminded me that only I can do what he designed me to do, you know, and I can't be somebody else. I can only be me. And though however hard I try to earn his acceptance, it's not good enough, because he accepts me for the way I am. In 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about God giving us a new heart, a new design, and a new nature. And in Romans 6, verse 7, he says we are set free from sin, from those things that we listed. This means I'm no longer, and we're no longer controlled by the worldview, but have a new mind and a new mindset. Mm-hmm. We have a choice. We can choose to live with Jesus and have our lives set free, or choose to follow our own will and do the things we want, but with consequences that follow. In a chapter in the Bible, in John 17, verses 1 to 3, I'm going to take a little bit out of this, paraphrasing it a little bit from the message. It says, Jesus said this, "Father, it is time. Display the bright splendour of your Son, so that Son in turn may show your bright splendour. You put him in charge of every human, so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. So he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge." So when we have a relationship, a friendship with Jesus, we can be assured of eternal life. The consequences of death and destruction have been overcome by Jesus. He took and stood in our place so that we can now have relationship with him. Now, today, and forever. And I wish we had time this morning to look at Revelation 21, which speaks about living in a new heaven. A new heaven, a new earth, and what it'd be like as God, creator and recreator of life, fulfills his promises. I've sneaked in a couple of verses. "Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. He will wipe every tear from their eye. No more death, mourning, crying, for the old order of things is passed away. I am making everything new." I get really excited about that verse, because that speaks about our future, his promises for us in a new heaven, in a new earth, and where we're going to live. So just in summary, eternal life starts when we strike up a friendship with Jesus, believe and follow him. Does this mean we face no more trials and everything we do is successful and we no longer sin? Well, the simple answer to that is no. But we can turn to our friend Jesus for help. We don't have to live in the failures of the past, and we can receive freedom to live in the future. He gives us new beginnings. Romans 8 speaks about the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Another but, it is a choice. You have to decide. You have to decide to get to know Jesus and follow him, or live separate from God on a path of death and destruction.